Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense, maybe just a tiny bit of sarcasm here or there, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy New Year to you. Happy 2018. I hope that you had a safe start to your new year. You know, it is the start of a new year. Start of a new year here at the Daily Dose. Start of the new year for you wherever you may be listening today. You know, and when we get to this time of the new year, when we finish out that old year, when we start a new year, it feels like we're kind of starting that new thing, doesn't it? It feels like we're kind of wiping the slate clean and starting over. It's a time for reflection. Maybe it's a time for looking at ways that we can improve ourselves, right? It's kind of what we do every year. Like, do we decide we're going to try to lose some weight? Maybe we want to try a new hobby. Maybe there's something else we'd like to do. Maybe we want to travel more. Maybe we want to go for that job promotion that we've been thinking about, but we just kind of haven't had, you know, I don't know, the gumption, the dedication to go after it and try to go get it. Perhaps you would like to work at improving your financial situation, making new friends, just being more healthy in general, just taking care of your health, whatever it might be. Whatever it is that you have decided to undertake in the new year, I want to say from me to you, I wish you the best of luck in 2018. Yep, good luck with that. A lot of people not going to have any faith in you like I will, but I want you to know I do have faith in you. You can do it. You can change. I believe in you. You can last like at least a week or two, like we all did last year, right? Aww. Hey, before we get going, we have a lot to get through today. If you would like to contact us here at the Daily Dose, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. I know we are coming off the long weekend, and now you've got to get back into the work groove here on Tuesday morning. If you had New Year's Day off, which I'm hoping that you did, so I know you're kind of like back to the grind and it's back to work and it's the start of a new year. And as much as we do get to wipe that slate clean, you're like, oh man, I got to get up and I got to get going. I got to get back to work and do all those things that we've already had to do. Last couple of weeks, we've kind of had that little bit of a break from. Don't worry. Here at the Daily Dose, we're going to hook you up. We have a lot to get to. The college football playoff games took place last night. And wow, did we get our money's worth there? We now have our participants in the college football national championship game, going to be talking about both of those games and talking about who is going to be meeting up in that big game next week. Plus, the NFL playoffs are now set. We will take a quick look at who got in and who didn't. I know that's like a day old now, but we didn't get to talk about that yesterday, taking the day off. We'll discuss that just a little bit. And of course, NFL coaches are losing their jobs like temporary holiday employees. Well, I guess right now. So we will talk about a few of those openings that are coming out too. Got a lot to get to here on a Tuesday morning. Of course, we are going to get to all of the college football playoff games in just a few minutes. We'll get to all that, don't worry. But first, one of the big stories that came out over the weekend were some of the job openings that were coming out. Some of the NFL coaches getting fired. We've been talking about that for a little while here on the Dose. There were some coaches we knew were in some trouble. Well, it looks like the Oakland Raiders are going to hire John Gruden after they fired their head coach, Jack Del Rio, like literally on the walk back to the locker room after the Raiders lost to the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. The Raiders, they are saying, and I'm assuming he's going to get that job like any second, like by the time you hear this, he might have already got that job. They are offering John Gruden a stake in ownership of the team to come back. I've heard they're like offering, I don't know, free buffets in Vegas. He gets to play with Siegfried and Roy's Tigers whenever he wants. I don't know. And I know Raiders fans have to be excited about the idea of Chucky coming back to Oakland. Like, you're pretty fired up about that, right? You've gone through a few coaches since then, but man, that was the guy. Like, he's the guy, right? John Gruden is the guy. He was on a lot of people's wish list. Like, we were talking about it just a few weeks ago. Some of the big coaching jobs that were coming open, people were all mentioning, hey, we're going to get John Gruden. We're going to get John Gruden. Are you? Sounds like Oakland might actually get the guy because he is the guy. Oakland had him. Remember, the Raiders had him. He took them to the playoffs and then he left for Tampa and won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. And so I realize that Raider fans look at John Gruden like, man, that's the guy that got away. Like, that was the guy. We had everything set up when we had John Gruden, and he got away from us. Like, if we could have kept him, we might have another Super Bowl. But is he really the guy? Like, I know everybody's excited about John Gruden. I mean, he hasn't been coaching here for a while. And we'll see, like, when and if this all comes to fruition. I would imagine they're just finishing up some paperwork and making sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But just remember this when we all think about this story. Because you think about John Gruden, you're like, oh man, he is the guy. Like, he is the guy. When you think about John Gruden, just remember this. John Gruden has said he would have selected Johnny Manziel over Khalil Mack. Just throwing that out there. Take that for whatever it's worth. Maybe it's not worth anything. Maybe John Gruden walked into a perfect situation in Tampa and got a Super Bowl. Just throwing it out there. Like I said, NFL coaching jobs are available. A few of them out there. We mentioned Oakland Raiders. Jack Del Rio got fired. Like, how fast did that happen? Just a year ago, the Oakland Raiders looked like they had a legitimate chance to maybe contend for that Super Bowl. They looked like if any team in the AFC could have contended with the New England Patriots, it might have been Oakland until Derek Carr went down with that injury. They got rid of their offensive coordinator, moved some things around, couldn't find the same magic this year, brought in Marshawn Lynch. He was going to really fix up that running game. Didn't work out so well. And so just a year ago, we were seeing Jack Del Rio. He was going for it on fourth down. Remember the fourth down thing? Going for two? He was like gambling. He was Black Jack Del Rio. That all changed fast, didn't it? Now he's like, don't come back, Jack Del Rio. Got sick of him really, really quick. Some other coaching jobs in the NFL that are available. Of course, Indianapolis. The Colts wasted no time firing Chuck Pagano. And honestly, when you think about Chuck Pagano, how had he kept that job for so long? Like, I understand he had some bricks go against him. He lost Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck couldn't stay healthy, and I get all that. But the Colts went from maybe being a playoff contender, like possibly being a playoff contender. It wasn't like everybody was saying, yo, the Colts are a shoo-in. No, but like in the division that they play in, Indianapolis has a chance to go to the playoffs, right? Going from that to being one of the worst teams in the entire NFL. It was like Browns and like Colts are right there. And you can sit there and you can say, well, that's not Chuck Pagano's fault. Like, look at the injuries and look at this and look at that. He didn't assemble this team. And you know what? You're exactly right if you're thinking that. But here's the thing about these jobs. And when you start seeing these coaches getting fired, always keep this in the back of your mind. Because they'll sit there and they'll say, hey, we just felt like we should have competed a little bit better. We lost Andrew Luck. Yes, we realized that. But we went and ended up being just a horrible team this year. And we're going to lay that at Chuck Pagano. I understand. Chuck Pagano definitely didn't coach his boys up, for sure. But remember, he didn't have a whole lot to work with, right? Like, they couldn't even find a quarterback. Like, they had to go sign a guy to even be their starting quarterback. They went and got Jacoby Brissett from New England to even have a starting quarterback. Now, that's not Chuck Pagano's fault. But do you think the front office in these situations, do you think they're going to fire themselves? Because they're not. So yes, the coach get fired. Indy will be looking for a new coach. Chicago Bears fired John Fox. We all kind of knew John Fox was getting fired, didn't we? Fox is a guy over his career that grinds out wins, sometimes in tough situations, sometimes with like less talented teams even. Usually what John Fox does, he puts together a pretty solid defense, and then he is extremely conservative. We're not going to turn it over. We're not going to take any big risks, and we're going to just depend on our defense. We're going to play the field position game, and we're going to just kind of hope things turn out well in the end. Well, this year, he looked completely lost. He has a young team, doesn't have very good skill position players. They brought in Mitch Trubisky because, like, Mike Glennon looked terrible. Trubisky kind of gave him a spark. You can see Trubisky has like some raw talent, but like John Fox doesn't know what to do with that. It's not like he's going to go out and say, okay, Trubisky, we're just going to turn you loose. We're just going to let you do some things. That's not what John Fox does. He plays conservative. He tries to grind out ugly wins. And they tried to grind out ugly wins this year, but you could see Mitchell Trubisky, like, he looked like he was regressing as the season went on. Like, he couldn't even make some of the simple throws. He couldn't even do some of the easy things right. But that's kind of what you get with John Fox. So Chicago, looking for a new coach. Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians announced he was retiring. Do you realize that Arians is the winningest coach in Cardinals history? The NFL is losing a very, very good coach in Bruce Arians. Don't forget that in Bruce Arians' career, he has coached Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, and Andrew Luck. And he somehow won in Arizona. And you say, well, big deal. He won in Arizona. Who cares about that? Hey, there's not many coaches that have won in Arizona or with the Cardinals franchise. That hasn't happened very often. The fact that Bruce Arians did it, he probably isn't getting as much credit as he should. Bruce Arians says he's going to retire. He's had some health issues. Says he wants to be there for his family a little bit more. Also, he doesn't have a quarterback worth, you know, starting down at Arizona, so he's got to try to go find somebody or something to try to figure that out. So, Bruce Arians stepping away from the game. That's a big loss. That's a bigger loss, I think, than people think it is. The Detroit Lions fired Jim Caldwell. You know, it's funny how short of a memory we do have in sports, right? Because Jim Caldwell was just given a contract extension a year ago when the Lions made the playoffs. Here's the problem with that situation. The team hasn't changed that much. They gave Matt Stafford that fat contract. Maybe you lose a player here or there. But you know what happens when you make the playoffs? You raise everybody's expectations. Hey, we made the playoffs last year. The Lions did. That's amazing. What are we going to do this year? I'll bet we make the playoffs again this year. Yeah, that's not how football is played in Detroit. They don't make the playoffs every year. They rarely make the playoffs ever. So when Jim Caldwell raised everybody's expectations and everybody started looking at Detroit, like, man, Detroit might be a surprise coming out of the NFC North. No, they're not going to be. That's not how that's going to go. Detroit's going to be kind of a 9-7 middling team like they usually are, except for in the years they're, you know, really, really horrible. And as a result of those expectations, yeah, Jim Caldwell, you kind of underachieved this year. Did he? Or is that kind of what we expect in Detroit? Like, if I told you on a year-in, year-out basis, hey, Detroit's going to go 9-7 this year, you go, eh, sounds about right. Nope, went to the playoffs. Big mistake, Jim. Oops, that's on you. Of course, the New York Giants had already fired Ben McAdoo for running that franchise into the ground in a very short amount of time. Like, McAdoo wasn't there that long. The Giants are saying that they are interested in Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I don't know how that would go in New York. Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. We've seen Jim Schwartz. We saw him up at Detroit. I'm not sure he's the guy. Maybe even Buccaneers defensive coordinator Mike Smith. They've got a few different people on their list. We'll see who the Giants reach out to. This franchise, they are not used to being in the cellar. The Giants are not dealing well with being horrible. They're going to try to build this up very, very quickly. Now, there are some of the openings that are out there. We're still waiting to hear on a few more. We're still waiting to hear on the Cincinnati Bengals and what they're going to do with Marvin Lewis. That's kind of just in a holding pattern. Lewis says there's no hurry. Cincinnati says there's no hurry. There was talk. Marvin Lewis was already planning on leaving, like he was kind of done. He probably should be done. I don't know how he's been at Cincinnati this long, but I mean, he's won a lot of games there for Cincinnati. What about Houston and Bill O'Brien? Will there be any movement there? Or was that just kind of a, hey, we lost Deshaun Watson and it all went downhill? Yeah, should it have gone that far downhill? And how come every year Bill O'Brien is supposed to be this, you know, quarterback guy? He had Deshaun Watson looking great. But other than that, he hasn't done anything with quarterbacks in Houston. Houston quarterbacks look horrible. So I don't know about Bill O'Brien. Miami, I guess they'll talk a little bit with Adam Gase. I don't think Gase is going anywhere. What about the Jets and Todd Bowles? Would Todd Bowles go anywhere? Because remember, the Jets at the beginning of the year surprised all of us. Came out, won a few games. Wow, who is this Jets team? Todd Bowles is really coaching them up. But down the stretch, we saw the Jets fade and fade and fade and fade. I know they had some people get hurt too. Every team has people get hurt. So not sure what the Jets are going to do with Todd Bowles. We'll keep an eye on that. Okay, we have to talk about the NFL playoffs coming up. And of course, we are going to get to the college football playoff games that took place last night. The Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, we're going to discuss both of those when we get back. We still have a lot to get to here on the Daily Dose. Let's talk a little bit of college football. Has it been a good college football bowl season? I've watched a ton of bowl games. I'm embarrassed to admit how many games I've watched this year. I don't know why. Like, they're just on. So I just, like, kind of check in on them. I'll take a look, see what's going on, see what's developing. Am I getting like a game I wasn't expecting? But I'll be honest, maybe 10, 12 games have been, you know, good to watch out of what, 57 or whatever it is, some ridiculous amount of bowl games they have now. The Big Ten was outstanding in these bowl games. They went 7-1. Unfortunately for the Big Ten, they didn't get into any like real games of significance. So the biggest games they were in weren't New Year's Day games. I mean, I guess you can count Michigan playing in that Outback Bowl or whatever that was. But what the Big Ten did in the games they did play in, hey, they were dominating. Ohio State just crushed USC. I watched that entire game. USC had no business on the field with Ohio State. Ohio State has a ton of talent. Wisconsin just out-toughed, out-executed Miami. Penn State, that game looked a little bit closer than it felt like, but Penn State kind of outclassed Washington. Penn State was another team I just look at and go, man, they're so talented. But then Ohio State and Penn State, I mean, they tripped up during the season, didn't get to the big game like they wanted to. Of course, then you did have Michigan pooping the bed yesterday, giving up that 16-point lead to South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. But I mean, honestly, I'm not going to hold that against the Big Ten, because what else would you expect from the Wolverines this season? Now, on the other end of that spectrum was the Pac-12. The Pac-12 went 1-7 in bowl games and didn't look good in doing it. And once again, the team in the Pac-12 that is the most steadiest, the one that continues to find ways to win, to find ways to win bowl games, it's not USC, it's not UCLA, it's not Washington, it's Utah. Why is Utah the most steady team in the Pac-12? They were the only team in the Pac-12 that won their bowl game. Again, Utah just continues to grind out and win games. Always tough, always tough. Kyle Whittingham, excellent coach. You know, I do just struggle with the overabundance of bowl games. And I watch more, like I said, I watch more than most people do. But can you please tell me why teams like Western Kentucky and Arkansas State and Colorado State and like Akron and SMU and Texas Tech and even UCLA, why are they in bowl games? You're barely above 500 and a loss in the bowl game like drops you to 500 or below. And I know, it's money. I get it. TV contracts, and I understand. But man, it just feels like everybody gets a ribbon. There's a less feeling of importance and prestige to these bowl games than I think there should be. And as much as I've said, I will sit down and watch a number of them. There's so many of them. They do lose their value. Like if I told you right now who won the Cotton Bowl, you'd be like, I don't even know who played in the Cotton Bowl. Like I have no idea. Who won the Armed Forces Bowl or the Idaho Potato Bowl? You're like, I don't know. I don't even care. Like it wasn't even a game I watched, you know? Okay. I'm off my bowl rant. Let's talk about some of the bowl games that actually did matter. Because first, on New Year's Day, we had the Peach Bowl. And Central Florida, who just 2 years ago went 0-12, finished out their incredible 2017 run by knocking off Auburn in what was a really, really fun game on Monday. Scott Frost, who had already taken the job at Nebraska, went back and coached his team up to beat an SEC team. Hey, Auburn made too many mistakes, and Central Florida's offense proved to be too much for Auburn to consistently stop. Now, I don't know how motivated Auburn was. Seemed like they were playing pretty hard, but it seemed like every time Central Florida needed to make a play, especially on offense, they came up with one. Was it Boise State versus Oklahoma? No, it wasn't quite there, but it's pretty good. And it's hard not to be happy for a team like Central Florida. Now, having said that, it's also really apparent, watching this game, that if Central Florida can't get into the playoff, then what non-Big Five team ever is going to? Could Central Florida play with the top four? I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, they're never going to get the chance. Not as long as we're at four teams. That will never, ever happen. Going 12-0 in the regular season, they were only ranked number 12 in the country. No chance for a team outside of the Big Five to get into the playoff. Will not happen. In fact, after the game, Scott Frost even talked about that just a little bit. He said, it took a conscious effort to keep Central Florida out. I saw the committee consistently ranking us below where we should have been ranked. I'm not entirely sure about that. Like, I'll hear a little bit of that. You played Memphis and like SMU and Temple all year, so I'm not going to get too wrapped up in that, but I understand what he's saying. Because there's no way we're ever going to see a team outside the Big Five Conference get into these playoffs. It just, it can't happen. There's no way it'll ever happen. there's no way you could get the strength of schedule up to where you would need it to be to really say, yeah, I think we can put them in there. I think they belong. It just won't happen when they're playing in one of these small conferences and playing, you know, the Connecticuts and the SMUs and the Memphises all year. How could they possibly play their way in? There's no chance. Okay. I had said last week, do you remember last week? I hope you listened last week. If you didn't, go back and listen to it. You can find it. But I had said last week, I was asking dear old Santa Claus on my Christmas wish list for close games in the college football playoff. And how good was that Rose Bowl last night with Oklahoma facing Georgia? That was as good of a playoff game as I've seen. I know we've had some pretty good championship games. We've had a couple of playoff games that were okay. But for the most part, the college football playoff games themselves, the semifinals, have been blowouts and have not been entertaining at all. Last night, that one was as good as it got. After Oklahoma jumped out to a 17-point lead, Georgia comes back with a vengeance in the second half. And you know, once again, for all of the talk that everyone does about strategy and these trick plays and tricky players and this scheme versus that scheme and how's this game, hey, the game of football is simple. It comes down to who blocks and who tackles, because these games are won at the line of scrimmage. And in the second half, you started to see this take effect. We started to see Georgia controlling the line of scrimmage. I picked Oklahoma in a close game, but I started to get real nervous second half because I started going, man, Georgia's taking over on both sides of the ball. It wasn't on one side. It was on both sides of the ball. The Oklahoma running game that was clicking early and setting up Baker Mayfield to do whatever he wanted, that was starting to go away. Georgia's defense was starting to shut that running game down. And as a result, Baker Mayfield was running for his life. And then on the other side, Georgia was starting to grind out yards with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, who combined, by the way, for over 300 yards rushing. And as the game got later and Georgia came back and took the lead and Oklahoma came back and took the lead back, but it just felt like Georgia was on the verge of breaking a big play, because they had worn down Oklahoma on both sides of the ball. And on the other side, the Sooners, it felt like Baker Mayfield was struggling just to get that offense into field goal range. Like, can we just somehow break a play? He was under duress. He was getting pressured. He didn't have open receivers. The running game had kind of got shut down. It just felt like the Sooners were just holding on for dear life. What an incredible game, though. Back and forth. These two teams combined for over 100 points and over 1,000 yards. This was a Rose Bowl that I hope, just as a fan, just as someone watching, you know, sports history or whatever, I hope you got to witness this. After trading field goals, after they went to overtime, in the first overtime, both teams trade field goals. Oklahoma had their field goal blocked in the second. And Sony Michel, running back for Georgia, finishes the game. Here is a clip from ESPN.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sony Michel will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
Georgia beats Oklahoma 54-48 in double overtime. Down goes my boy, Baker Mayfield.
You're my boy.
And the Georgia Bulldogs head to the national championship game for the first time since 1980. So who will Georgia be facing in that championship game? Let's discuss the Sugar Bowl just a little bit. You know, I was starting to get worried in the first half of the Sugar Bowl that this game might end up coming down to the wire as well. Not that I would have minded another close game, but if both playoff games are like close and have great finishes like we saw in the Rose Bowl, then the actual national championship game would just have to be like a 40-point blowout, wouldn't it? Alabama held a slight lead over Clemson at halftime, but it just looked, in watching Alabama, like they were the more physical team. They were quicker to the punch. They were winning, again, the battle at the line of scrimmage. Clemson closed the score to 10-6 in the third quarter, and then the Crimson Tide rolled off 14 straight points, and of course, it was their defense that did it, and it just felt like Bama, they might be back. I know they struggled down the stretch. We saw them lose to Auburn. We saw them struggle down the stretch of their schedule. But their defense last night kind of looked like it might be getting back to form. Like, they're getting healthy again. That pass rush was nasty. And again, with just four pass rushers, they forced Kelly Bryant into two interceptions. Their linebackers close so, so quickly. Alabama beat number one ranked Clemson 24-6. And we are going to have an all-SEC national championship game, which, of course, SEC people are ecstatic about. They're chanting SEC, SEC right now. And the rest of the country is like, so what else is happening next Monday night? It should be a very fun game, though. Georgia is playing extremely well. They earn a very, very tough victory in the Rose Bowl. Alabama, they held Clemson to just 200 total yards. They did not play each other in the regular season. So now we get Georgia versus Bama in the national championship game. Kirby Smart facing his former boss, Nick Saban. Hey, next Monday's national championship game has a chance. You got to cross your fingers and hope, has a chance to be a very, very good game. Hey, coming back, we will discuss the weekend in the NFL and briefly, discuss the wild card round of the upcoming playoff weekend. Got to stick around for that. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you do any of that post-holiday shopping that you might want to do, because maybe you have some holiday money you want to spend, over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can get the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and of course, video games. January's Loot Crate theme, it's called Discover. It features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. And the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. So you got to make sure that you head over to Loot Crate. Okay, the NFL playoffs are set, and I know you've already kind of digested this and you've already kind of heard all this. Let's just go over a few things in the NFL playoffs real briefly here on Tuesday morning, okay? First off, the NFL draft order is now set for the top few teams. Let's just go through real quick who the teams are in the top five picks right now. That is set. Number one in the NFL draft this spring, the Cleveland Browns. The team that has one more W in their name than in their 0-16 season. Number two will be the New York Giants. Who thought New York was going to be there? Number three, the Indianapolis Colts. Number four, again, the Cleveland Browns, because remember, they get that pick from the Texans. Cleveland is going to have two picks in the top four. Why do you just know? I'm trying to push this out of my head. Why do I just know they're going to screw that up? And then number five, my beloved Denver Broncos. Aww. Again, probably going to screw that up as well. Maybe John Elway will pick another tall quarterback. Ugh. Okay, the NFL playoffs are set. Here are the teams that are in. I'm sure you know this. We'll run them down real quick. In the AFC, New England Patriots do get the number one seed. Home field advantage. The road to the Super Bowl goes through New England. Number two will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Kansas City Chiefs have the four seed. The Tennessee Titans somehow have the five seed. And the Buffalo Bills scrape their way into the NFL postseason for the first time in, 18 years? So this weekend, for the wild card games, we have Buffalo going to Jacksonville. The Tennessee Titans go to Kansas City. And then that next week in the divisional round, the Patriots would face the lowest seed that advances, whoever that is, and the Steelers would get the higher seed. Over in the NFC, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at one. Has there ever felt like a one that was less of a one right now than the Philadelphia Eagles? I can't think of it. Might have to put some thought into that, but I can't think of it right now. Number two, a very, very dangerous Minnesota Vikings team. The Los Angeles Rams have the three seed. The New Orleans Saints have the four seed, with Carolina at five, and the Atlanta Falcons get in. Coming off of their visit to the Super Bowl, they come in at the number six seed. So over on the NFC side this week in the wild card weekend, we have Atlanta going to LA. Not sure what to expect in that game, because I don't know how many fans does LA really have. I have no idea. And then Carolina will go to New Orleans in what should be a very, very good game. So there's kind of the playoff scenario that we have coming up. And of course, we'll talk about that more as the week gets further along and as we get closer to the weekend. But what in the world happened to the Baltimore Ravens and Seattle Seahawks? Like, both of those teams had everything to play for and got taken out by teams already eliminated from playoff contention. The Ravens got beat at home by Cincinnati. Baltimore had fought back to take a late lead, gave up a late touchdown, lost their spot in the playoffs. The Cincinnati Bengals eliminate the Ravens and allow the Buffalo Bills to get in. Yet we're not really talking about John Harbaugh's job, are we? Kind of odd. And then the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's kind of slipping under the radar, and I know they had a ton of injuries. But Seattle gets eliminated by the Arizona Cardinals at home? We talking about Pete Carroll's job? I know. He won a Super Bowl. Right? That's why. Of course, then he lost a Super Bowl. Either way. Both of these teams got beat at home. It's just bizarre to me. And another example of how in the NFL, in any given week, it doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter. Well, you look at this team versus two. We look at it on paper. It doesn't matter in the NFL. And that is the thing that we do love about the NFL. And it's the thing we love about sports, isn't it? We honestly don't know the outcome. We think we do, but we don't really know the outcome of these games. That is what makes this so exciting. As we go into the NFL playoffs, it should be a very, very fun postseason. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we just might. I'm working on something. I'm working on trying to track down a guest to discuss the NFL playoffs with us, trying to work that out, make sure we have just the right person to come in and talk about the current NFL playoffs. Plus, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know, you have to tune in for that, because what could we be looking at this week that we could be ranking? Got something in mind we might have to look at tomorrow. Hey, thank you so much for listening to The Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, all of you that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you. It is genuinely appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Happy New Year to you. I will see you all tomorrow.